In today's show, we have Gretchen Feniff. She is with Medical Solutions. I met Gretchen through the Cincinnati Rotary Club, and we're going to talk about healthcare staffing for hospitals.
If you're ready to learn how technology is driving business innovation in Cincinnati and beyond, you're tuned in to the right podcast. Join us for interviews and discussions with business leaders, innovators, and visionaries. With our host, Sam Schutte, CEO of Unstoppable Software. This is Unstoppable Talk.
Gretchen, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Sam.
No problem. So tell us about your background. How did you get into business development for hospital resources?
Well, through college, I was actually an EMT in the state of New York and also worked as unit coordinators on multiple floors back in the day. And, you know, fast forward, when I moved to the Cincinnati area, I worked at Bethesda Hospital in their surgical department and then went on into private practice. So I have this, you know, pretty wide-ranged medical background, and then ended up in the nonprofit sector for a long time. And about this time last year, I was really looking for my next challenge. And I had a friend who also, you know, works for Medical Solutions, and she had always spoken very highly of her experience there and what a fantastic culture that they have. And so I threw my hat in the ring and was hired June of last year as the business development executive for them.
Cool. And what does your company do?
So Medical Solutions, we are the second largest agency in the country, and we provide temporary staffing for hospitals and other hospital facilities. So we primarily are focused on travel nursing and allied professions.
Let's take a quick break. This podcast is sponsored by Unstoppable Software, a Cincinnati-based technology consulting firm. At Unstoppable Software, we bolt on to your company's team and accelerate their ability to deliver custom software development projects. With our deep experience in manufacturing, engineering, and healthcare, we can tailor systems for process improvement, data analytics, machine learning, and document workflow, so they become a user-friendly, perfect fit for your employees and the way they want to work. To learn more about how we make our clients unstoppable, visit us at unstoppablesoftware.com or call us at 513-382-8499. And now, back to Unstoppable Talk.
Okay, so tell me about travel nursing. People may not know that that even exists.
Yep. What is so that? Exactly? It's an interesting story. So what I learned through this process was travel nursing actually is a relatively newer profession. It actually started in the 80s. There was a gentleman in the Omaha area who had actually gone on, I believe it was spring break, down to New Orleans with his buddies, and they wound up in an ER and realized, as he was sitting in the ER, he realized, boy, they're really running around here and we're short-staffed. And so when he got back to Omaha, he got to work and launched the first travel company for travel nurses to go help short-staffed facilities. And that's really the birthplace. Omaha is the birthplace and the hot spot for, the travel industry for nursing.
Hmm. So that's something where those folks will travel to, you know, like if there's an emergency or something like that, first and foremost, I guess, is that where they kind of flood in, you know, like if there's a hurricane or something like that, I guess, or is it just something that's always a need?
It's an ongoing need for facilities. So you think about it, you know, staffing is tough for a lot of companies in general. You know, there's, you know, temp agencies for administration to engineering, and this is the medical field. So, you know, you have staff members that need to take, you know, FMLA because they've had surgery or there's, you know, they're having health issues or for whatever reason that they have to step away from their job for an extended period of time. That's where we come into play. You know, like our typical length of contract for us is 13 weeks, which is a quarter. And so that's, our, you know, when we send a traveler to a facility, they're there usually for that length of time. And we can also, you know, customize that depending upon the needs of the facility. But typically, you know, we're staffing anywhere from, you know, ICU to ER to med surge and respiratory therapists, speech therapists to the OR. So we, you know, as a company, you know, being that we are a large company now, we're able to staff a hospital from the C-suite all the way down.
Interesting. So, and what I have found in staffing, when you're able to sort of recruit from all over the place, mm-hmm. it lets you get a lot higher quality employee or resource sometimes than you can find in your own backyard. Do you think that's something hospitals sort of take advantage of it? Because, you know, they can go and find the best med-surg person out there nationwide or, you know, instead of just having to look in their own small town somewhere.
Excellent question there, Sam. So we do pride ourselves as a company that we do work with some top-notch professionals. We have a very extensive process. We have 14 clinical nurses on staff that start the process of interviewing, pre-screening any of the candidates that are looking to travel with us as a company and represent Medical Solutions. So we, you know, we have a whole compliance team. So when we present a candidate to a hospital, you know, they get their full resume, but then we also do all the background work, the legwork that's required to get a traveler to a hospital. So, you know, we really do pride ourselves on being able to, you know, present to our clients and to our hospitals that, you know, we have a quality candidate for them to review and to hire and bring on board and be a part of their team for a time period.
And I guess, you know, I'm a little out of date, but, you know, what can you tell me about the shortage? I remember a couple of years ago, there was, you know, quite a shortage in nursing staff that, you know, there were hospitals were getting pretty desperate and paying massive signing bonuses and things like this. Is that still sort of the case? Have a lot of new people moving into that profession?
Yep, there's still a shortage in the industry, mm-hmm. and we're still seeing that. You know, unfortunately, you know, the schools haven't been able to keep up with the needs, and especially as our population is aging. You know, the baby boomers was a very large generation of people, so we have a lot of clients that we're going to be taking care of in the future. You know, until the schools, you know, can keep up, you know, and just attract individuals into the profession. So I think there's always going to be a need for agencies like Medical Solutions.
And you mentioned compliance and stuff mm-hmm. before. I mean, you know, compliance is something that can be such a struggle for particularly smaller medical outfits, mm-hmm. you know, smaller hospitals. And I don't know if you, do you only work with, you know, some of the biggest hospitals, or you work with smaller agencies?
Yeah,
as well?
We work with them all. You know, they could be, you know, a 10-bed critical access hospital in rural America to some of the largest facilities in the country. That's the one thing I, from a sales perspective, one thing I love about my job is that I get to touch all 50 states, plus Guam mm-hmm. if I wanted to. But fortunately, one of my coworkers already has Guam locked down. But, you know, we do have a large footprint, so I do have the opportunity to work all over the country.
And is that something with those smaller ones? Mm-hmm. Do you all get involved with helping them keep on top of compliance? You know, because, I mean, you're doing your own compliance for your mm-hmm. staff, but then you have to figure out how to fold them into systems and rules they have, you know, within their
facility. So what we do, when I establish a relationship with a new client, and when I reach out to them, I say, okay, exactly what requirements do you look for in your roles? So I make sure I communicate that to my team, my compliance team, so that we're all on the same page. You know, we've all, you know, Medical Solutions, we already have a very well established template for what we put our, you know, our checklist through for every candidate that we're placing. But we also absolutely honor the input from all of our clients to make sure if they have anything special that they also would like to see in addition to what we are already doing, we're covering it.
And you mentioned earlier, you know, working with those customers. I mean, how do you all sort of focus on customer service as a mindset?
I think the key is we really listen to our clients and what their needs are, and we try to deliver top-notch service to our clients. So we want to make sure we get the right candidates, not only, you know, to be on an ongoing basis with them, but we react as their needs do change. And that's key.
Gotcha. So on a day-to-day basis, I mean, you're obviously talking to people who have needs, and then you're working to try to fill those needs.
Yes.
What kind of software systems or tools do you use to kind of stay on top of that? I mean, where do you spend most of your time?
So we have our own, what do you call them, CRM, and it's called Pulse. It was developed for us, and then we work off of Pulse, and we also work off of 2.0. Those are two platforms that I leverage for my job, and they both were, you know, custom built for us. And the and I do feel for all platform designers out there, because as soon as you think you have it built, then something changes in the industry that impacts that platform. And so we, you know, everyone, you know, it, you know, because the 2.0 was the original model. And so it's DOS-based, it's slow, it's cumbersome. But as we all know, it's very expensive to move platform to platform. Sure. So, we, you know, they did establish Pulse, which is my database that I look at. That's where all my hospitals are housed, and they kind of communicate back and forth. So, yeah, there's, you know, there's days where 2.0 is not my friend, and other days it is.
And so, you know, being in sales, I mean, how do you, I guess, do you manage a lot of inbound folks reaching out to you, or do you have to do a lot of, you know, reaching out and cold calling, knocking on doors, or what's kind of your main method of making something happen?
Sure. So, you know, I'm a BDE, and we do have other, what we call client facing positions in the company. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we have account managers, so they have specific hospitals that they work with, and that's, you know, that they focus on. I'm out there generating new business, and that's my role. And so yes, I do the cold calling. I'm knocking on the doors of the hospitals, calling around, talking with the decision makers to see how I can help support their needs. And then we also have our career consultants. Those are the individuals, they're our recruiters. They work with the professionals. So their role is to go out and get the professionals to, you know, that I find the jobs, they bring the staff.
Understand. Okay. So when you're talking to, let's say you're reaching out to a hospital, I don't know if it would be like chief of nursing or who you're, who's your, like, by title, your main target.
It's funny because it's really, it can go hospital to hospital, can be very different. And, you know, and that's kind of the joy of my job, is to figure out who is the decision maker for that particular hospital. And it's just through conversations with the staff is how I navigate those waters. You know, a lot of times, you know, you think that it'd be the chief nursing officer that would have that decision power, but yet it's, you know, HR handles it, or maybe the nurse recruiter handles that decision. And then ultimately my contract gets signed off by the CEO. So it's just learning the channels per hospital.
So when you reach out to them, I mean, what's your elevator pitch? What are the real values you try to convey so that they want to know more?
It's really listening to, first, you know, and foremost, it's listening to them. And once you get that door open of conversation, is that, you know, what are their needs? And then I address it, you know, one need at a time. And, you know, the reality of it is, you know, yes, I have, in my division, you know, we're very much on top of, you know, ICU, med surg, OR needs. It's a little harder for me sometimes to get, let's say, a lab tech, because we just don't see that many of them that are out there looking for a travel position. So it might take me longer to get them, but it's about education. It's educating my client as to what resources I have at my fingertips. And I will definitely turn it around as fast as I can upon request.
Gotcha. And do you all do, like, I mean, what kind of content, I guess, do you share? You know, you talked about education a little bit. I mean, do you invite people to webinars? Are you sending white papers, you know, or is it more just trying to build that relationship and have conversations?
Most of it is building the relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, we certainly do send, you know, when there's any, you know, statistics out there that we find, you know, from an industry perspective that would, you know, kind of reinforce what we are able to, you know, provide. We definitely share that type of information with them. But really, it's a lot of relationship building.
Gotcha. And you talked about your past, you know, working on some of the floors and being an EMT and stuff. What special advantage do you think that gives you when you're working with these customers?
I think the advantage is that I've been in their shoes. You know, I've worked in those mm-hmm. hospitals. I've been, you know, I started off in telemetry, worked CCU, ICU, med surg. So I understand their language, their needs, and I know what their, you know, their 24-hour clock looks like. And I think, you know, that's definitely, you know, my foothold.
Gotcha. Cool. When you're talking to those customers, I mean, I guess, what kind of relationship do you have with them typically? I mean, is it something where you're kind of touching base with them on a weekly basis, monthly basis, or, you know, how do you kind of keep that going?
I kind of gauge each, you know, client. I think the larger the hospital, the more you know, touch points you have to have with them. Mm-hmm. They tend to have more, you know, a lot more opportunities, you know, to turn over that, you know, that I can help with versus, you know, some of the smaller hospitals. But the smaller hospitals, you know, they do look out long term. So they know that they have a pregnant nurse, you know, at 9 months, they're going to need to have someone fill in while there's a maternity request taking place. So I make sure that I put them into a certain, you know, kind of follow-up rotation. And follow-up is key with any client.
Sure. With just everything that's been going on recently with coronavirus and all this, what have they been leaning on you more to do? And how has that kind of changed everything you're doing?
Yes, I have to say, Sam, it has been a very interesting time period in this industry because just the immediate reaction and the needs and, you know, there's so much in the beginning of all this, there was so much uncertainty as to how things were going to play out and what needs they were going to have. So some hospitals were a little slower than others, you know, because they really played the weight game. And then it was like, oh no, we need people like yesterday. And then it's, you know, so then as an industry, we really had to lean on what we call our rapid response protocol. So that enables me to get travelers to a facility at a much quicker rate. So, you know, trying to give you a little time frame, you know, so when a hospital tells me they have a need, I post out the job. I pull together profiles of candidates that want to submit for their job. They review it, do the interviews, and then, you know, let me know who they want to hire. And from that point on, then, you know, it takes me 2 weeks to get a traveler to their facility, you know, after they've run through that whole compliance process. And once I have a complete compliance file to send to them, you know, I can basically have boots on the ground in their hospital within 2 weeks of a hire. Rapid response protocol moved that timeline to 5 business days because we know they need them much sooner. So they make, you know, so we went through all the protocols and we say, okay, I can live with this information, but I definitely need to have this information in order for them to start working, right? So that was, you know, we moved a lot of my clients to a rapid protocol just because they were desperate to have staff. And then some of my clients currently are in the process of preparing for the next wave. So in that preparation, they are actually encouraging all of their perm staff to take a vacation, go home, rest up. You know, rejuvenate. And then they're also doing the same for my travelers because they know they're going to need them back. So, you know, so we're going through a rotation right now and trying to, you know, figure out who can take a break and who do we need to keep working, you know? And so that's one thing, you know, with the whole COVID is just, you know, we've put a lot of amazing people to work out in the field to take care of COVID patients. People who actually stepped away from their perm jobs, took a leave of absence because they wanted to go out to the front line. And to me, that's been the most inspiring of this entire pandemic for me is the people that, you know, wanted to get out there and help.
Yeah, I don't think people realize that. I hadn't heard that. And how are people traveling if they're, I mean, is it something, you know, if they're going from, I don't know, California to New York, are they driving? Are they getting on a plane?
Some are. It's funny. I would hear tales, especially towards the beginning of, you know, our travelers on the airplane and literally it's all medical staff flying to positions to help, you know, the facilities. And then, and a lot of people were driving. I placed a lot of West Coast people on the East Coast. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely been a very interesting time because the thing is, you know, when all that hit and then all the elective procedures went down, there's a lot of furloughed nurses out there. And unfortunately, some of those positions, some of the furloughed nurses, we can't put them to work because it's not a desired need right now. You know, because, you know, the hot topics for COVID, you know, it started off in the ER to the ICU to respiratory therapists became a very hot item. And then we're also, you know, seeing some, you know, needs in, you know, med-surg and telemetry and labor and delivery, but very few in comparison to the other units.
Yeah, it's interesting. My brother-in-law is a nurse in Portland in med-surg. And he's, you know, he has said before, he could do ICU. Like it's not that he's not, you know, educated in whatever background to do it. He just would have to do some kind of certification or training or something, right? And then would they want him there tripping over everybody and being in the way if he doesn't know, you know what I mean, some exact details?
Well, we do have standards on that. So as a company, you have to have worked in that discipline solid for a year to 2 years before we will allow you even to interview for the position. So, you know, when I go and call a client, I say, okay, you want to fill an ICU position. How many years experience do you want to look at? And they tell me.
Yeah.
So, but our standard is you have to have 1 year in before we can submit you for that position.
Gotcha. Yeah. And I saw today that a lot of the major airlines out of Cincinnati anyway, where we both are have suspended, like, there's basically no direct flights coming out of CVG right now. You know, they've Delta suspended like 20 different flights or something like this, right?
Right.
And so it's way cut down. So, I mean, it sounds like, you know, to some degree, people won't have much option to fly,
right?
You know, here if they're trying to get somewhere.
Oh, I know. It's going to be interesting how the whole impact on the airline industry.
Yeah. And I imagine once they're, you know, if they're on the front lines in New York, I mean, even once they're time is up, they can't just come back either,
right? Well, right? That's where the rental car industry gets a boost.
Yeah, but I mean, don't they have to quarantine or something if they've been, you know what I mean, before they come home? Potentially,
it depends. You know, I'm not, you know, fully knowledgeable, and you know what that's going to entail. You know, it's state by state difference too. So,
yeah,
depending upon where they're coming from.
Well, like I know Hawaii, right? So we were supposed to take a vacation in Hawaii this summer. That got canceled. And, you know, if you land in Honolulu today, they don't let you out of your hotel for 2 weeks. Like, you cannot go.
Right.
You cannot go to Hawaii.
Right. Oh, I know, because I have.
You can go to a hotel in Hawaii.
Right.
That's about it.
I have a contract in Honolulu, and so it's going to be a while before I get to go visit that contract.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
And it's interesting because I was talking to someone the other day, doing an interview, and we talked about how, you know, there's always sweet spots in any economy.
Sure.
Friends of ours that we have, you and I, who are in businesses such as doing a lot of printing for restaurants.
Right.
So, like, yeah, they're hurting, I mean, without a doubt, because of all this. But I would imagine if, you know, if you're doing staffing for medical positions like you are, that's, you all are doing probably pretty well, or, you know, very busy.
Yeah. I mean, I know that I'm extremely fortunate to work not only for an awesome company, but also to be able to work at this time. I mean, I know there's a lot of people whose jobs have been impacted, but I also have worked 7 days a week throughout this pandemic because I have hospitals that need us. And I want to make sure that I get them what they need, and that's travelers. And so, you know, I've been putting in 14-hour days, 7 days a week.
You're an unsung hero.
I don't think people realize how much work, and it's not just me. It is a whole team. You know, we have over 700 employees at Medical Solutions, and I'm telling you, every one of them is going to be in desperate need of a vacation because they have put in a tremendous amount of effort to take, you know, from recruiting new professionals to to travel nursing, to getting them out to the facility. I mean, everyone, you know, between our housing department to our placement team to, you know, our clinical nursing team who has had to stay up on licensure, you know, because there's rules about, you know, we have compact states, which, you know, there's 20 plus states that you can cross state lines with one license, basically. And then there's individual states that, you know, you can only have a New York license or you can only have a California license practice your profession in. And, you know, we have to stay on top of executive orders, you know, which is always changing. You know, they had to keep moving out the line because they didn't know how long, you know, in order for New York to receive the number of travel professionals to their state, they had to open up an executive order to allow everybody in to come help because there weren't enough of those professionals in that state holding a New York license to handle the traffic that they had. There's so many mechanisms that we've had to, you know, develop and keep up with to be able to do our jobs so our travelers are compliant. I mean, there's so much involved in this position, and I had no idea, you know, when I signed on the dotted line when I came to this company how many mechanisms take place, but they're brilliant. I mean, they really cover a lot of risk areas, you know, because it's a risky business, right? Medicine's risk. And we want, you know, and that's part of our guarantee as a company and our customer service to our clients, that everything that we do for a reason, and that's to protect them and also, you know, provide them with a top-notch service.
So what are your personal goals? I mean, where would you like to go next in this field? I mean, where do you see yourself, say, 3-4 years from now after being there?
That I'm enjoying what I'm doing. You know, I've had several careers leading into this career. And, you know, I've done leadership, I've done management. I absolutely love this job. I love what I'm doing right now. And there's definitely, it's a great opportunity to make money, but I love the people I work with. So really right now, I have to say, I'm pretty content, Sam.
Well, maybe someday you move back into management or something there.
We'll see. Right? We'll see. I don't know. This job really brought out the competitor in me, boy. And I love what I do. I love the hospitals that I work with and, you know, the team that I'm on.
Well, you know, it's funny because I remember when I was writing software years ago, you know, of course, I wanted to move into management. Right? And I had a boss that said, why do you want to do that? That's not any fun at all. Like, what you're doing right now is the fun stuff.
Exactly.
You know, stay and enjoy it a while, right?
Exactly.
And, you know, I think sometimes getting in and out and doing the real hands-on work, sort of, quote, in the field, mm-hmm. you know, like you are, is sometimes more fun than looking at budgets and spreadsheets.
Exactly. Because
right?
I've done the looking at the budget and the spreadsheets and training and all that. So I've been there, done that. And I'm thoroughly enjoying what I'm doing. It doesn't mean, you know, if maybe, you know, down the road, Medical Solutions has a new challenge that I, you know, step up for, I'm sure I'll be open for, because that's just who I am. But today, it's pretty sweet.
Great. Cool. So I guess just to summarize, what are the three main problems that if folks are listening that are, you know, working at a hospital, mm-hmm. what are the three main things they should reach out to you for help with?
Well, obviously, number one, staffing issues. So if you have members of your staff that are, you know, taking an extended period of time off, that's what we're here to do. We're here to help support you and your team, in essence, so that you aren't struggling to meet your schedule. Your staff isn't working in overtime into a deficit on the budget. You know, that's what we're here to focus and help provide that, you know, additional support. You know, the one thing, you know, people tend to forget is when management has to take time away, we have amazing leadership professionals from CNOs to, you know, director of nurses, you know, to other fields that, you know, we can help fill those spots. So I think, you know, some facilities do tend to forget that that's an option for them. And then, you know, we also, you know, we have two different types of contract. I have a standard contract, and I also have what's called the MSP, which is, you know, a product where it's more multi, you know, I become your number one provider of travel needs for your facility. But I also have a lot of affiliates that I can reach into to help, you know, and pull into to help provide even more traveler. So, you know, for instance, you know, in some of the allied positions that we do, you know, sometimes have a hard time filling, I can reach out to affiliates. Maybe they have more that I can access. So, we're a growing company. We bought up a couple more companies last year. We keep adding to our roster and keep strengthening our toolbox. You know, we're out for domination.
Great. I love it. So if folks want to learn more about the company, mm-hmm. What's your website? And then if they want to reach out to you, what's the best way for them to contact you?
Yeah, well, medicalsolutions.com. It's, you know, go out, learn more about our products, about our services, about our, and if you want to become a traveler, you know, or you know somebody mm-hmm. that's in the profession that wants to become a traveler, we love to have them on board. You know, I can be reached locally. I'm in, we have offices all over the country. So, you know, Omaha's our main office. And then, you know, I'm here in the Cincinnati Blue Ash office, but we have offices out in like San Diego, Denver, Tupelo, Mississippi, down in Tampa, Florida. And so, you know, we really kind of cover a lot of distance. I can always be reached, via email or through my phone. So it's gretchen.finniff@medicalsolutions.com or 513-657-7517.
Awesome. Well, Gretchen, it was great to talk to you and learn about what you're doing. And I know you're have a great passion for
it.
It's great to hear that you're having success with it. So thank you for coming on and telling me about
it. Yeah, no, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me. I appreciate it, Sam.
Thank you for tuning in to Unstoppable Talk. We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. If you did, be sure to support the show by leaving a 5-star review on iTunes. And learn more about this show by heading over to unstoppablesoftware.com. Until next time, keep innovating.